14. We are smoking through this stuff. James chapter 1, starting in verse 17. Stand with me tonight if you're there, would you? Stand with me for the reading of God's word. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Father, I thank you for your word, and I pray you'd help me to teach your word and communicate it tonight in a way that we could take it from this place and apply it to our lives in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. You may be seated. So there's more to stopping sin than just stop sinning. There's been damage that's been done, and so here's your first couple of fill in the blanks. Deciding to sin no more may take care of the future, but it doesn't heal the past. Doesn't heal the past. So healing comes through repentance and forgiveness, and sometimes restitutions have to be made. If you get caught by the police and you've been doing something stupid, like maybe you've been beating up mailboxes or something, and you know, so, and you have to end up buying a lot of mailboxes. That's called restitution. There, you know, so sometimes those things have to be done. And as serious as it sounds, we can be grateful that there's a remedy at all. Amen? And so in moments of review, I just want to go back and talk about some things we talked about last year. The danger behind James's warning is not, warning to us is not to be misled, is the temptation to believe that God doesn't care. God does care. God cares about everything, and maybe you've thought, well, he won't help me, or maybe he's been working against us. Well, he hasn't been. He doesn't work that way. Here's some more fill in the blanks. If we come to believe that we're alone, we've been misled. How do I know that? I know that because he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That's what he said. Here's another one. If we distrust God, we have been misled. Here's another one. If we dare to accuse God of being the tempter, we have been thoroughly misled. So in contrast to the view that God sends evil, James is here pointing out that whatever is good and perfect comes from God above. That's where it comes from. So we can be assured then that God always wills the best for us, not only good things today and bad things tomorrow. Here's some more fill in the blanks. God's character is always trustworthy and reliable. God's character is always trustworthy and reliable. How often? Always. Always. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6 says, "For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you're not consumed, O sons of Jacob." So nothing can block God's goodness from reaching us. He is sending blessings that we don't even realize. He is undaunted, listen, by our inconsistencies and our unfaithfulnesses. Isn't it amazing? He is undaunted by our inconsistencies and our unfaithfulness. One of the enemy's tricks is to try and convince us that our Father is holding out on us. It's one of his tricks. That he doesn't really love us and that he doesn't really care for us. That's nonsense. That's not true. And so when the enemy approached Eve, he suggested that, listen, if God really loved her, he would permit her to eat from that tree. So when Satan tempted Jesus, what did he do? He raised the question of hunger. He said, if your Father loves you, why are you hungry? The goodness of God is a great barrier against the yielding to those kinds of temptation. It's better to be hungry in the will of God than full outside of the will of God. And Jesus said, every time that the enemy came against him, he said, the Word says. It says in the Word. Right? It is written, yeah. So here's another fill in the blank. Moses warned Israel to not forget God's goodness when they began to enjoy the blessings of the promised land. Say that again. Moses warned Israel not to forget God's goodness when they began to enjoy the blessings of the promised land, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6. James presents four facts about the goodness of God. Number one, God gives only good gifts. God gives only good gifts. Everything good in this world comes from God. Here's a fill in the blank. If it comes from God, it must be good, even if we don't see the goodness in it immediately. Look for in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 in the first 10 verses there, Paul, it talks about Paul's thorn in the flesh. It didn't seem like that good of a thing. Anybody ever have a pain or something of that nature that just doesn't seem to go away? Well, Paul's thorn in the flesh was given to him by God, and it seemed to be a strange gift, yet it became a tremendous blessing to him. It kept him focused. It kept him in tune with God. So God gives only good gifts, and the way God gives is good, and that can actually be translated and every act of giving. So the value of the gift can be diminished by the way it is given to us. If you give something, that's why sometimes when I'm taking the offering or giving, getting ready to take the offering, if you're just giving in the offering begrudgingly, or you have an attitude about giving, keep it. Don't give it. Because your attitude speaks very loudly about what you're doing. And the Bible says that God loves a cheerful giver. He wants you to give because you want to be a blessing to God. He doesn't need our money. But your money says a lot about your heart. I've heard a lot of pastors say from time to time, show me your checkbook and I'll show you where your heart is. Yeah. Oh yeah, I've witnessed it firsthand. It takes 20 minutes for them to take an offering because they just start dancing. I mean, the band starts playing, the worship team starts playing, and I mean, everybody in the place gets up and they all start dancing. They dance their way all the way up, and they don't take the offering like we do. They got these big deals up front, and everybody puts it, and they dance their way all the way. It's quite something to watch. It's an amazing thing. It really, really is. So the way God gives is good, but when God gives us a blessing, he does so in a loving and a gracious manner. God wants us to have good things. What he gives and how he gives are both goods. He gives constantly. The word in the scripture where it says cometh down, in the English, it's a present participle that means it keeps on coming down. It just keeps on coming down. The blessings of God keep coming down. God doesn't just give occasionally. He gives constantly. He's pouring out blessings. Even when we don't see the gifts, he's sending them. And how do I know? Because he tells us so, and I believe that his word is true. So he gives constantly. God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. There are no shadows with the Father of lights. It's impossible for God to change. He doesn't change. He can't change for the worse because he's holy. And he can't change for the better because he's already perfect. So the light of the sun then varies as the earth changes, but the sun itself is still shining. And if shadows come between us and the Father, he isn't the one that caused them. Here's one. He is the unchanging God. He is the unchanging God. The one before that was goodness. If it comes down from God, it must be good, even if we don't see the goodness in it immediately. We all caught up? So it means then that we shouldn't question his love or doubt his goodness when difficulties come or temptations appear. If David, King David, would have remembered the goodness of the Lord, the goodness of God, he wouldn't have taken Bathsheba and committed those sins and murders and all that. Nathan told him, listen, thus says the Lord God of Israel, I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you out of the hand of Saul, and I gave thee thy master's house and all thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah, and if it had been too little, I would have moreover given you unto thee such and such things. The repetition of the word gave in this passage of Scripture, in this brief statement, is amazing. God had been good to David, yet David forgot, here's your fill in the blank, David forgot God's goodness. We got to remember the goodness of God. We got to remember that his gifts come down from above, that he loves us. David forgot that. The first barrier against temptation is a negative one. It's called the judgment of God. That's a fill in the blank. The judgment of God. Here's another fill in the blank. The second barrier is positive. The goodness of God. A fear of God is a healthy attitude, but the love of God will balance it out. The love of God brings balance. And so we can obey God because he might chasten us, or we can obey him because he's already been so generous to us and because we love him for all that. Still with me? It was this positive attitude that helped keep Joseph from Potiphar's wife. She chased him down. She ran him all over. You know, it says, behold, with me around, my master doesn't concern himself with anything in the house, as he has put all things that he owns in my charge. There is no one greater in this house than I, and he has withheld nothing except you, except you, because you're his wife. How then could I do this great evil and sin against God? Joseph here, he knew that all these blessings had come from God. His brothers meant it all for bad and for evil. His brothers sold him down the river. They sold him to a bunch of marauders. They wanted to kill him outright. Everything that they meant for evil and for bad against Joseph, God turned it all around, and Joseph became, as it were, a type of savior for his whole family. Isn't that amazing? So God had been good to David, but David forgot God's goodness. I already said that. So if it was the goodness of God through the hands of his employer that restrained him in the hour of temptation. So God's gifts are always better than Satan's bargains. Satan never gives any gifts because you end up paying for them dearly. Remember on Sunday when I talked about gifts and how you can't pay for a gift that someone has given you? It's just ridiculous. It's the blessing of the Lord that makes rich, and he adds no sorrow to it, according to Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 22. If you remember back in Joshua chapter 7 in the Old Testament, when the battle of Jericho took place, and Joshua led the children of Israel in that most ridiculous war campaign ever known to man. They marched 6 days around the walled city of Jericho, and they walked around it, and on the seventh day they walked around it, and the seventh time they yelled and the walls came down. But there were stipulations that were put on the plunder of that city. Achan forgot the warnings of God, and he forgot the goodness of God, and he saw some forbidden wealth, he coveted it, and he took it. They were told not to take anything, and yet he did. And for a moment he became rich, but the sorrow that followed turned his riches into poverty. Everything that he had was destroyed and killed. His family, his everything. So here's a fill in the blank. The next time you're tempted, meditate on the goodness of God in your life. If you think you need something, wait for the Lord to provide it for you. How many times have we went out and done stuff our own way? One of the purposes, if you want to use purposes as an illustration for temptation, is to teach us to be patient. How many times have you heard somebody say, well, just don't ever pray for patience? Don't ever pray for patience. Or what? Never mind. Listen, David had been anointed at about 17 years of age to be the king of Israel. Saul was still the king, but David had been anointed king. David was tempted twice to kill King Saul and advance his own coronation, but he resisted and waited for the timing of the Lord. In fact, when he snuck into the cave of Adullam, had an opportunity to kill Saul, and he didn't do it, but he wanted him to know that he was there. And so he stuck the spear through his garment on the ground. And just that act caused David so much grief that he repented. Who am I, he said, to touch the Lord's anointed? Well, David was the Lord's anointed, but yet he saw Saul, because God had not removed him yet, still as the anointed, and it bothered him. Twice he resisted killing King Saul. James chapter 1 and verse 18 says, of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Here's some more fill in the blanks. A shining example of the good things that God gives is spiritual birth. Spiritual birth. We're saved because God chose us to make us his own children. Now just go, when you get to the house tonight, just run in the restroom, stand in front of the mirror, look at that thing, and God chose me on purpose. What? Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's amazing. It's really amazing. He's given us spiritual birth. We're saved because God chose us to make us his own children. We've been adopted into the family. We're a royal priesthood. We're joint heirs with Jesus. I mean, on and on and on it goes. We're peculiar. We're sojourners. The new birth is a gift to every one of us. Here's a fill in the blank. The true word is the gospel. It's the good news of salvation. We hear about the gift of birth through reading and through the preaching of the gospel, and we respond to it. In the first barrier, God says, look ahead and beware of judgment. In the second barrier, he says, look around and see how good I've been to you. He sent his son to die in my place. He's redeemed me, and he's redeemed you. The third barrier says, God says, look within and realize that you have been born from above and possess divine nature. How do I know that? Because he said in his word that he has placed within me the Holy Spirit. I have deity that lives inside of me, his Holy Spirit. So James uses birth as a picture of desire leading to sin and to death, and he also used it to explain how we can enjoy victory over temptation and over sin. And the Apostle John in 1 John 3:9 used a similar approach, where his seed refers to the divine life and nature that's inside you and I as the believer. And there are characteristics of this birth. Number one, it's divine. Remember in chapter 3 of the Gospel of John, Nicodemus couldn't figure it out. How in the world can I be reborn? Do I visit my mother's womb a second time? No. Had nothing to do with that. It's divine. It's a spiritual thing that takes place. Nicodemus, here's a fill in the blank. Nicodemus thought that he had to re-enter his mother's womb to be born again, but he was wrong. This birth is not of the flesh. It's from above. John chapter 3 and verses 1 through 7 explains it. It's the work of God. It is the work of God. He has done something so profound in each one of us. If we took the time tonight to get just a snippet of each one of our testimonies, it would just be amazing at what God has done in all of our lives. Not only that, but on what God is doing in our lives. The places that he's brought us from, and and the places that he's taking us to and what he's doing in the midst of it all. So, here's another fill in the blank. Just as we didn't generate our own human birth, we cannot generate our own spiritual birth. That's why it drives me crazy as a preacher to give an altar call and talk to people or be witnessing to somebody and talk to them about the things of God. And they're like, well, you know, I want to wait until like next week or next month or give it a year and see how this all plays out and whatnot. And, you know, listen, you're not guaranteed tomorrow. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. We can't generate our own spiritual birth. And when we're presented with the opportunity, we should take it. So when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, it's God that is the one that's performing a miracle. And it is a miracle. So it's divine and it's gracious. We didn't earn it, and we sure don't deserve it. We didn't earn this, and we sure don't deserve it, but yet God gave us spiritual birth because of his grace and his will and his mercy. I look at my own life and I just shake my head, because why in the world would he save a knothead like me? What? Knothead for knotheads. It's his grace and his mercy. John chapter 1 and verse 13 says, which were born not of blood, which is human descent, nor of the will of the flesh, which is human efforts, nor of the will of man, which is human assistance, but of God. Man doesn't have any involvement in this whole thing that takes place called spiritual birth. Nobody can be born again because of his relative. Nobody can be born again because of his resolutions or their religion. Religion won't save you. Your relatives don't guarantee you a place in heaven. Your relatives can affect that. Your relatives can inspire you and give you guidance and push you toward those things, but you can't get into heaven on the coattails of your relatives. Here's another fill in the blank. The new birth is the work of God. So the characteristics of this birth is it's divine, it's gracious, and it's through God's word. So just as human birth requires two parents, so divine birth has two parents, the word of God and the spirit of God. In John chapter 3 and verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. 1 Peter 1 and 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. That's God's word. That seed has been planted in each one of us. The Spirit of God uses the Word of God to bring about the miracle of the new birth. I was in town yesterday shopping. And I was in Walmart. And yesterday was Harvest Christian Assembly shopping day at Walmart. If you weren't there, you missed it. Chavez's was there. Rocky and his dad was there. Marissa and Liam was there. Who else? I saw Chavez's grandsons were there. One works there and filling all. I saw all these people. Laverne and Marsha were there. What's that? And so, of course, I gotta stop and talk to everybody, you know. And so I was talking to Rocky and Marissa and Liam has this little thing. And I said, What in the world is that? Oh, he says, it looked like vitamin tablets or something, pills. And I was like, what in the world? He goes, yeah. He says, you just put this pill in some hot water or warm water or something like that. And he says, you just wait, and overnight, there will be an animal that comes out of the glass. An animal. It turns into, it gets wet, and it turns in, you know, it makes this farm animal comes out or whatever. I don't know. I don't know why I just thought of that, but that's kind of what happens in our life. The Spirit of the Lord, the Word of the Lord gets into us, and we might have been an absolute mess. But when God begins to do His work in us, something begins to take place in our life, and we become what He's intended for us to become. And I can't talk about this kind of stuff without thinking about A Bug's Life. If you've ever watched The Bug's Life, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And that big old caterpillar turned, oh, I'm a beautiful butterfly. I mean, he's got these little baby tiny wings, you know, like he's going to fly or something. I mean, but that's what God... Yeah, that guy. Tell me that dude's going to get off the ground. That is amazing. Those guys are fast back there. How in the world they do that stuff is beyond me. But that's what God does to us. That's what God does in us. He transforms us. There's a miracle that takes place called the new birth. And since the Word of God, according to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, it says that the Word of God is living and powerful. And because of that, it can generate life in the heart of the sinner who trusts Christ, and that life is the life that God has given us. So it's a divine life, it's a gracious life, it's a life through the Word of God, and it's the finest birth possible. I've been born again. We are a kind of first fruits of His creatures, James wrote. He wrote it to Jewish believers, and the word first fruits would have been very meaningful to them, because the Old Testament Jews brought the first fruits to the Lord as an expression of their devotion and their obedience. According to Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9, it says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. That's still applicable today in the tithe and the offering. Don't go pay all your bills. I mean, according to God's word, you don't pay all your bills and then pay your tithe with what's left. Pay your tithe first. That's an act of the first fruits, an act of honoring the first fruit. Of all the creatures, this is your last fill in the blanks, and I'm about to wrap this up, which is crazy. Of all the creatures that God has in His universe, Christians are the very highest and the finest of His creation. Why is that? Yeah, pretty much. She said, because we are made in his image, and what I have written down is because we share his nature. He put his Holy Spirit inside of us. A higher birth means a higher life. I'm above and not beneath. I'm the head and not the tail. And I've thought about Jeannie Boss and Missy 100 times as I've preached this. That was the names of her milk cows. Jeannie Boss and Missy. And if you've ever sat down and milked a cow, and if you have not secured the tail, you could come out of the barn with makeup you weren't looking for. And I have been hit upside the head with a very nasty tail more than once. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I'm more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. That's his word. That's his word, church. We're going to jump all the way to verse 19 next week. Yeah. Verse 19, chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. We're going to start out with those and go from there. Any questions tonight? Any comments? Any questions? Yes, sir. Well, I think everybody would like to hear that, so I'm going to bring you a microphone. Go ahead.
Well, right here with me.
You okay?
Yeah.
I'll just stand right here and hold you up.
Okay.
I'll hold this.
Well, I'd like to thank everybody in this congregation. There's been several of you that come to visit me unexpectedly. And I'll tell you, one of them was Charlie.
Mm.
And he comes to see me several times. He's an interesting person.
He certainly is.
David and his wife, they've come to see me almost regularly. And by the way, the pastor, just before he got his operation, he even come to see me.
Yep.
So, yeah, God bless all of you. I ask God, if there was a possibility I could get out of the facility where I was at. The VA's facility is wonderful.
Awesome.
There's nothing about them that I can say bad.
Good.
But I asked God, I'm not accomplishing anything more here. I don't understand why I'm here. Can I get out of here? And it wasn't too long after that the lead doctor comes walking in and says, you're getting out of here on the first.
Awesome.
Or whatever it was, you know.
Yeah.
And yes.
Amen.
Yeah.
Let's get you
set. All right. Oh, I can set my machine.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
There you go. Amen. Well, we're really glad to have you home with us. Amen. All right. Anybody else? Yes, sir. It was daytime. After midnight, I'm asleep, buddy. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your word. And Lord, we thank you that Harry is here with us tonight. And God, I just pray that you would be with each one. I pray you'd seal this word in our hearts. Lord, help us to retain your word and meditate on your word. And Lord, I thank you for it. Again, we lift up Casey Cole and everybody that is sick. Lord, Tammy's sick. Anthony's sick. I know Gary Brown just had knee surgery again and he's laid up. God, there's so many of us that need your touch. Lord, I pray for Mike's brother Butch, Lord, that's in Portland right now having cancer treatments. Lord, I pray for Mavis's niece that is in for a tumor to be removed from her, Lord. There's so very many things, God, that is going on in our congregation, our church family. And Lord, we just lift them all to you, and we just pray, God, that you would heal them all. Lord, I pray for Lindsay's Achilles tendon, that you'd heal that thing, God, in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for it. We give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. Hey, thanks for watching tonight by way of the internet. God bless you. God go with you, and we'll see you later.